Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
And I know Mary does, but there's this peace and calm of spiritual activity there with...
You alright? What is it, Derek? You alright?
Mary loves Dick. Mary loves Dick. Mary loves Dick. That's it. Don't say all those things about him. Don't.
Who are you?
You alright?
You alright?
Just for a moment, energy came in and there's annoyance. A nice lady, but I feel as if she's got this great love for Dick.
Right.
For Dick.
Okay.
Great love. Covers him up. Covers him up.
Are they related or are they?
Yes.
They're related?
Yes.
Right.
She covered him up. She helped him.
How do you mean covered him up?
How did she cover him up, Sam? She protected him.
Right.
With who? The only two that protected him were herself, Mary and Betty. Mary and Betty. Okay. They knew. The only two ladies that knew. This secret place. And we... She used to help him. And feed okay.
Send
food Betty.
And
right.
Yeah, and parcels.
This is very, very interesting. You're giving a lot of information over here, and I'm hearing through my earpiece that our historians are going completely bonkers. So, I mean, has Derek come up with the right information? The best bit of that was Mary loves Dick. But me, I could not stop laughing.
She protects him.
She covers him up.
Well, I thought I had the piece together there, about now.
When you went, Mary loves Dick. Mary loves Dick.
Nobody was the way you were going. Mary loves Dick. Mary loves Dick.
No!
No.
That was so bloody funny.
Well, that is one of our favorite bits from Most Haunted. Derek, doing the show, it looks like, you know, most of the shows that you guys did, it must have been fun and exciting to be in all these different places and to see the places that you've seen and to be a part of a large group like this all focused on the same thing. Was the overall feel of Most Haunted a fun time to get in and do all these different places?
Well, Dave, from the conception, you know, after the pilot, before it was commissioned, it was It was thoroughly enjoyable. We didn't know from one location to the next, naturally, what we were going to find, what experiences we were all going to either collectively experience or singly experience. And there were wonderful times, some of them rather, I suppose, to a lot of the crew, rather frightening, rather shocking. But then, you know, taking it all into consideration, going into these places where, you know, the history were probably up to 1,000 years, if not more. It was wonderful times at the beginning, yes.
And for those of you that are just tuning in, shame on you. You missed the first hour of our show. We're talking to Derek Acora, the psychic medium from Britain, who is probably most well-known here in the United States from his stint on the TV show Most Haunted, which ran, is still running, but I guess you... Now, how many seasons total were you with the series?
Well, I was with Most Haunted series, up to the 6th series, over 100 shows.
Wow.
And also incorporated alongside that 19 Most Haunted Lives, which were over 3-day periods.
Now, I do want to make a mention. This field is wrought with peril and drama and negativity, and I know my listeners, just like everybody else out there, was hoping to tune in and hear you dish on everybody and everything and all the negative side of this, and I just want everybody to know that when I approached Mr. Acora to be on the show, his only... comment to me in the email about being a part of this was the fact that he'd be more than happy to come on and talk about the fun times that they had on the show, talk about what's going on, share his life with us, but that he wasn't interested in coming on to tabloid radio and bashing people. That's not what it's about. He wants to stay a part of the light and to talk about the fun and talk about the things. He said that he understands there's going to be some points we'll have to address, but the object of the show was he would not come on here to start throwing barbs at people back and forth. Whether or not other people do it to him, he decided he wanted to stay above that. So we do respect that. We're not going to be pushing him in any corners. So if you're hoping for the next hour to hear Derek Acora blast on every member of every TV show he's ever been a part of, then you can just tune out. I think there's a really good rerun of Perry Mason on some channel right now. So you can go check that out. But we are going to talk about Most Haunted and the different things that have occurred. You've taken, you know, it. I don't envy you in the fact that doing a show like this and having the abilities you have, and let's face it, you know, we can claim we're ghost hunters and we're going to get a lot more respect than somebody that claims to be able to talk to the dead. You've put yourself out there into a very public place, into a very public light, and, you know, if anybody just cruises YouTube.com, it's like every other Derek Acora story is somebody tearing into you and shredding you or ripping on you on a TV show. Or interview, how does that affect you, Derek? I mean, that's gotta be really disheartening to be such a big part of such a big show and be such an entertaining personality, only to have people focused on just the negativity and the destruction aspect of it so much.
Yes, well, David, you know, looking back on this in retrospect and what have you, I, in my opinion, the humble opinion is that, for whatever all this negative stuff is being fired from, my belief is that it's coming from a minority, not a majority of people. And that minority may be, I don't know, having some kind of agenda to make these statements about me, when in actual fact, 9/10, no doubt, have never ever come into my company or mine theirs. They've never been to see me doing live shows. They've never seen anything other than maybe what they've seen on the television. They've never been into a one-to-one with me. And, you know, you can really pinpoint a very small minority that it always goes back to. And generally, I know it sounds sad, and forgive me saying it, but the ones that have actually done this and, you know, checking it out have been people who wanted to either... they slate me, and then suddenly the next day, they're wanting publication in the tabloids. It's like saying, you know, getting publicity off my back.
Sure, sure.
That's exactly what's happened over here in Great Britain. And, you know, it's happened right up to this last moment. Every time I seem to, you know, I don't mind at all. I work for spirit, and, you know, I've got broad spiritual shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could say these words, if they cut my legs off, I'd still be working for spirit.
Right.
But, you know, every time I seem to go forward in wanting to do the project spiritually, and I've been a very fortunate man to be given the opportunity by television networks, that every time I do something new, the moment it comes out and it airs, then you get this garbage, negative garbage, that's filtered through the media, generally only from one or two, maybe three sources, very small minority, and you can check it back to where it comes from. And it's rather futile. It's rather, to me, it's so childish. It's so below, very sad, actually. But I can't do anything about it. I don't really wish to do anything about it, purely simply because I know it's falsehood, it's lies, and it's stupidity. And if they want to dwell in that sort of negative frame of thought, well, they are most welcome to it. Derek Acora is not going to be there.
Well, I mean, it's pretty understandable. You watch the show. The three main stars of the show were you, Yvette, and Carl. And, you know, that was the main focus. That was the entertainment value of it. And I'm not belittling any of the other cast members, but certainly you three were the main focus, and you certainly added a lot of entertainment value to it. I mean, TV is what it is. It's a venue for us to be entertained, to watch something and see into, voyeuristically see into somebody else's life. So I'm sure that there had to be points during your career on all of the shows that you've done, leaning back to like 1999, where TV producers do put a little extra pressure on somebody with your abilities to make something exciting happen.
Well, you know, answering that question, which is a very, very, very good, valid question, is that I never once, in the time that I've worked in television on paranormal programming, which goes back quite a long time now, 12 and a half years, I've never been asked or approached by any television network producer or director to either, you know, jazz it up or do this, that, and the other. If it's come across as being, you know, entertaining, all very well and good, apart from the obvious fact that I'm trying to prove as a medium. But I can honestly, with my hand on my heart, say no one, either in England, Great Britain, America, or anyone, television networks have ever asked me to jazz something up or even falsify. Had that been the case, Derek Acora would have done the walk before I even started.
Do you feel, and I'm not asking you to name anybody in particular at all, but do you feel that it was surprising to you that the attacks came from the places that they came? Was that a surprise to you at all to be in, you know, to have people that you were very close with at one point and, you know, people that you were involved with on a very close, it seems, personal level as well, seem to turn cold to you? How did that affect you and you know,
It was a great surprise, if not shock. Purely and simply because I, you know, in all the time that I took part in the paranormal program, especially Most Haunted, I couldn't quite grasp, even to this moment in time, what the agenda was, what it is. You know, I'm a great believer in that if you enjoy doing something, what you do, and other people alongside you enjoy it also, I can't grasp the change of why, you know, a person or people decide to go and seem to be hell-bent on trying to destroy or even, you know, harm a person that has worked along with them 100%. I still can't grasp it. I still quite don't understand, you know, the whole picture to it all.
Do you believe that a lot of it's just marketing in the fact that, well, Derek has moved on to do Derek Acora's Ghost Towns, and now we've got a new psychic in the spot. How do we draw attention? Well, maybe we draw attention by casting aspersions on the predecessor so that now you tune in to see the real deal. This is. Do you believe that that's maybe where more of the agenda comes from, that there's really not ill will or bad feelings? It's more of a marketing standpoint in order to keep a show alive that just lost one of their main draws?
My personal opinion is that so, yes.
Okay.
Most definitely.
And again, you know, I'm not trying to press you in any positions that make you uncomfortable talking about these type of events. When you're doing a show like Most Haunted and you're out there and you're putting yourself on the line, you know, so to say, and you're, you know, doing what you do. I mean, do you ever go back and watch an episode and go, oh, what the hell was that? And feel embarrassed by, you know, and the reason I ask this is we've had, I'm sure you're familiar with the TV show Dead Famous.
Oh, yeah.
And we've had Chris Fleming on the show, and Chris from time to time would channel spirits, and he hates that part of the show. He thinks he looks silly. He says, I hate doing the crappy flop, you know, and that look, and it embarrasses him to do it. I mean, how often did you watch an episode of Most Haunted, or are you the type that just don't watch it so you don't have to deal with that?
Dave, I've watched more than, I've watched so many of them and repeats of them and what have you. And a lot like Chris Fleming, who I've got a great deal of respect for, because I've watched him and I've seen him, a good man, a good sensitive. I felt embarrassed naturally when channeling, because, you know, your consciousness is not there at the time, and wherever you're expressing that spirit energy, and it's only when you come out of it, unless you watch the program, you don't know, or of course, you ask people who you were working around what actually went on. Of course, the embarrassment factor comes in, yes.
Well, let's talk about the channeling aspect a little bit. That seems like a very dangerous aspect of doing the job that you do. You know, talking to or having Sam be the go-between between you and the spirits seems like a safe place for you to stay so that you're not dealing with this. And a lot of the what's become known as the Derek possessions on the show, you know, seem to be a violent possession that kind of take you over. Do you, you know, you said that you're protected fairly well, but it seems like some of these things just step in and take over, and Derek Okora is kind of sitting in the passenger seat. I mean, does that frighten you that spirits just have that ability to just kind of move over, Derek, I'm taking over from here?
Well, looking at it, you know, looking back on the programs and only then seeing the reaction, first of all, we've got to take into consideration, Dave, that when channeling, when an instrument, a medium, decides to channel a spirit energy or entity, he's doing or she is doing that of their own, you know, free will. Generally, we don't really know until that spirit person has entered the medium's auric field and has come in, and we have, as a medium, would step back a couple of paces and then realize only then that the feelings that are being generated within are not nice feelings, and the personality of that approaching spirit hasn't been a good person. Maybe it's not moved on from the physical life into the spiritual, hasn't been a nice person, because what happens and has happened since the dawn of man is that when people move over or they move out of the physical life, they don't always portray or put forward truly how they were in personality. They could kid you, they could cajole you into thinking that, you know, they were A-OK sort of people. And when they seize the opportunity to come in and you allow them, it's only then when you find out. However, when those feelings are generated in such a way and you've been hoodwinked by a negative spirit person, you know, like I know, and also Sam, we both know that that energy has got to come out as quickly as possible. And of course, it is going to make you or make me look as the instrument of housing the spirit person, is if I'm either in pain or I'm agonizing or I'm not a nice person. We've not got to get away from the idea that that person could have been a killer, could have been a rapist in his time or her time, could have been a bad soul. And just because they've left the physical body doesn't mean to change they've changed their personality and consciousness.
Right. As in life, they are in death, is what I've heard
absolutely.
From most people. Well, does that worry you, Derek? Do you take home any of these transient spirits?
No.
Do they ever follow you or stick in part of you?
I've had it on occasions where they've tried to latch on to me, going home or what have you, but I'm always aware. Sam's there, my guardian, alongside me. And if that attempt is made, we soon sort that out and, you know, rid ourselves of that energy. So I can't tell a fib and a lie and say it hasn't happened. Of course it has happened, but only for a short space of time where it's not had any what we call, in any way, shape, or form, long-lasting effect.
Let me ask you this real quick question before we go to break. Dealing with Sam, who seems like this elevated spirit, this higher level entity that's helped you out through lifetimes, does he ever say to you, Derek, Most Haunted, maybe not the best idea for you to do this show?
Sam made the statement to me at one point in the time, and I've always listened to Sam, always. And he had made a point to me where we progressed so much within so many series of Most Haunted. And the way it was put to me was, there are other things that you can explore, other things where you can help, where you can open up within this region of spiritual work. And in other words, place it into my thoughts. And it was at that point in time where I started not so much to question Most Haunted, but to question my my continuation with Most Haunted after all those shows. And the urge was coming in very strong for me to look at, what do I look at to bring change where my contribution can be looked upon differently? And that's a new section of maybe, you know, what we can talk about. But there was a time, most definitely, where Sam had pointed out to me, put it into my thoughts for me to think it out in my off times, and then to make later a decision on what I wanted to do and what way I wanted to go.
All right. Well, we're going to take our first break here in the second hour. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show with our guest, psychic medium Derek Acora.
Once you have seen Dave and Tim in the light, you'll understand why we must return to the darkness on the edge of town. Stay tuned. There is more to come.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
They're hardly beautiful and barely average. In fact, when they were both born, the doctor slapped their moms instead of them.
I will slap you so hard you end up in the Ming Dynasty.
Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
Is he telling you something, Derek? Is Sam giving you a name?
Treat!
Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guest is Derek Acora. Most of us recognize him from the television show Most Haunted, that's been running here consistently and been one of the most popular shows on the Travel Channel. We just heard a snippet, Mr. Acora, from one of the episodes, and we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about this and give you a chance to talk a little bit about what happened with the Creed Kafers deal. Now, personally, I'm intrigued that people that were part of a show that you were a big part of would even go to the lengths that they did to try to trip you up. And for people that aren't familiar, there were these are the reports that there was two instances where they used anagrams. One was named Creed Kafers, which supposedly means Derek Fakes, and then there was Eric Edels, I believe, which means Derek Lies. And they were supposedly names that were fed to Mr. Okora prior to the show so that when he did his channeling and spoke to Sam, that these would be the names given to him. And it was supposedly a big reveal on the site, or, you know, on the show, that that you use these fake names and associated them with the site. I'm curious myself, you're a psychic as well as a medium, correct?
Yes.
If you're on the set of a TV show and you've got 8 or 10 people standing there focused on the name Creed Kafers,
yes,
wanting you to screw up, wanting this to happen, could the name that you picked out not have been a pre-led name? And I know I'll take a lot of heat for my listeners for leading you like this, but couldn't it just as easily be a name that you picked up because that was what so many people were focused on, and that was the energy in the room at the time, and that's the name that, as a psychic, you picked up on?
Well, you know, when this program was filmed in November 2005, Dave, almost 12 months before the newspaper article in which Kieran O'Keefe made a statement, immediately prior to my new program, Ghost Towns, being aired, the day before my last appearance on Halloween Most Haunted Live, nobody, Kieran O'Keefe, Yvette Fielding, Carl Beatty, anybody I've ever come forward with that with a proof. All they've done is attempt to blacken my name with a whisper campaign. What they claim is being brought forward way after the program. Why didn't any of these people go to the television company, you know, 12 months before and tell their findings or to say what they said about this? Whenever a sensitive goes into the atmosphere, a medium, psychic, into the atmosphere, basically where there's either spirit energy that's active, Dave, or whether there's residual energy, that's what we're there for, to pick up on the atmosphere, the atmospheric, the ether itself. So mixed in that ether, there's going to be a number of things, and especially if there's an activity. And then suddenly, if all day long, we've got to remember the nature of the program. I never used to get called to go till the early evening time, and all that team would be there, Yvette, Carl, Kieran O'Keefe, all the team would be there from early that morning. And if they were walking around talking in conversations collectively, mm-hmm. and a name or names such as the names that have been used are in that ether. Unfortunately, this is the case. It's happened before that through the honesty of what the medium is going to, you know, speak out is what he or she is actually experiencing in that atmosphere. So to blame, I suppose, would be if that actually happened that day, certainly where Kieran O'Keefe was concerned, did not approach me and say anything or leave pieces of paper which he's actually, you know, purported said in statements. It's amazing, like I said earlier in this lovely interview, that that every time something so major was pointed out and fed to the tabloids, all coming back to the same place, that it was always when I had a show the next day to be aired. Now, as far as those names are concerned, I'm not going to say, in my total honesty, that, you know, I know the viewers and the fans have seen and what's been aired. What I said was generally from the atmosphere. There was certainly not any talk from any of the three participants within the Most Haunted crew. Total lies.
So it was, but could it be, you're saying when you're pulling from the atmosphere, so you are in essence saying that you do think that if there are so many people focused on a word or a name, I mean, this has been proven. There was a, Tim, maybe you remember the scientific study they did where the students tried to create a ghost by giving it a personality and a name.
Yes.
And suddenly, do you remember this at all, Tim?
I remember the study. I don't remember what it was.
But they set up this non-existent ghost, and suddenly they started getting results. They were able to get EVPs. They were able to get messages from the spirit. So in essence, you're giving it a life. And if they were, you know, giving Creed Kafer's is a name, and they were pushing that much energy into it, could they have in fact created this name that was floating around that was picked up either by Sam or picked up by your psychic ability to relate?
Exactly. In my opinion, this is the only way this has actually gone. Mm-hmm. The thing is, in the world of spirit and even beyond the world of spirit, grounded spirits that have not left this earth,
mm-hmm.
and have not gone to the higher life, they are, if they've been sordid souls, people who are not good souls in life, when they seize the opportunity in situations like this, of course they kid. I mean, how many times that barbaric use of what we call the Ouija board, where right. people have sat down and got so much confusion from spirit people that were in the energy of the room in which they conducted these seances with the Ouija board, and they'd kid the life out of people in the sense of saying things and giving names or letters to make up names and just trying, just in their sordid way, that they, you know, showing you that they haven't changed one iota since, you know, they left their physical life. And I can only put it down to that actual situation occurring in that atmosphere. It certainly was not down to accusations made by certain people about me being fed information that's total lies. And secondly, any approach of pieces of paper left behind by Kieran O'Keefe. I'd like to point out also, where Kieran O'Keefe is concerned, I had no qualms, axes to grind. I got on very well with Kieran O'Keefe, him being the parapsychologist, me being the resident medium. However, certain atmospheres changed there. What caused that, I don't know. That was way before this incident that was fed to the tabloids. I can only put it down that the changes took place because, certain people knew that I had the intentions of leaving the program. Was there a fear that, you know, if I was popular within the program, would the program be less popular? He's let us down is another word that comes to mind. Excuse me. You put all those things together, that's the only, in my opinion, the only thing I can really, really positively say why all this has happened.
Let's talk to now another famous, you know, and I don't know if this is myth or truth, is the story of the fact that they caught you with an earpiece in. Now, aren't most of the members of the team walking around with earpieces because the director and people are telling you where to be and what, you know, I mean, isn't there direction? Because even in that scene with, you know, that we joked about in the beginning when we had, when you were doing the Mary Loves Dick scene, Yvette reaches up to her ear listening to what the producers are telling her and the historians. And I've noticed other people on the show doing the same thing. Did you, in fact, have an earpiece in? And if so, was it an earpiece that's just connected to production? Or how do you respond to that?
Very, very clearly and very honestly, I never, in one show from the start to the end of when I finished most of it, ever wore an earpiece. The only people that wore earpieces were the people who were in contact with the outside broadcasting, people if it was live, or to the sound box. And the only two people, to my knowledge, that had those earpieces, one was Yvette Fielding, the presenter, and the other was the director, Carl Beatty. No one else. You just wouldn't think about it, and especially a medium. I think someone once made a statement, where they said that my earring in my ear was the earpiece. It was a very sophisticated piece of machinery, and it must have cost a lot of money.
Are you all James Bond on us there, Derek?
yes. and that was the most laughable thing, you know, bless them. But no way, categorically, clearly, very honestly, ever. Again, I would be asking questions as a medium. Firstly, why? I would be saying to the network or Antics Productions, why do you wish me to wear an earpiece? Why? Because there's no need for me to have an earpiece to make any contact to anyone else other than a spirit person or my guide, Sam.
I'm confused by a lot of, like I said, what went on. We had Carl and Yvette on our show a couple months back. They were very lovely people, very nice you know, certainly they have their thoughts and theories on you and what was going on. I'm not quite sure why, if they felt that you were a fraud from so early on, why they would continue to perpetrate the fraud by having you maintain your position on the show. I would have thought that if they would have thought that you were this charlatan, that they would have exposed you, you know, two seasons in and ended your series. Yeah, I mean, you made dramatic TV. That's no doubt. I mean, it was fun to watch you, and it's fun to watch the eyes roll back and the crazy voices and the throwing of things, and you know, it's entertaining. But I mean, to me, I wonder, and of course, I'm not calling out Carl and Yvette on this either, but I'm just wondering where the morality is there to stand on a pedestal calling out fraud, but allowing the fraud to continue for ratings. Doesn't that make them as guilty of it as they're claiming you are?
Yes. Well, you know, I'd like to, if I may, in a very, very kindred way,
sure.
Point out something that has been accused me, whether it's come through from Carl or Yvette, it certainly got into the tabloids and people asked me the question, whatever, I've been all over Europe and what have you. And it saddens me, but if I can just make this short statement.
Please.
Firstly, I was not sacked from Most Haunted. I chose to leave the program, and I've made my feelings known to both Antics Productions and Living TV in October 2005. More than 6 months before I actually walked off the program series, because the atmosphere at locations had become intolerable. I'd made an agreement with both Antics Productions and Living TV to complete Series 6, and take part in the Most Haunted Live programs, actually finishing at the Halloween Live in October 2006. That's exactly what happened. If Living TV, you know, were like a network that they are, were behind a sacking of Derek Okoro or any other person, would Derek Okoro still be making programs for Living TV in 2007 right now? Of course not. Living TV have given me Ghost Towns, now my new series in Egypt, and there's still more to come because they want me to do paranormal program. It's only come from one individual place. As I say, my personal opinion is it's to get publicity off my back.
Well, and I understand that. Well, thank you for taking the time to sort that out for us and let it be known. If you could go back now, knowing what you know now, would you still sign on to do Most Haunted again?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay, fair enough. With the direction that you're taking the show and where you're being led, how do you feel that your abilities are best being suited? Do you feel that entertainment shows are helping people with your abilities? Do you feel that that's ever a misuse of the abilities that you've been given?
Well, I found after 4.5 years, all those shows were Most Haunted, that at a certain period of time, going to the latter part of before I finished with Most Haunted, that there seemed to be a more, okay, the entertainment side was always there because it's television, but it seemed to be leading in such a manner that I started to question my mediumship and what my role was for the seriousness and the side of what I should be portraying. And, of course, I checked myself up with that. That was one of the reasons why I wanted to leave, is because I had in my mind that I wanted to take part and be a contributor of a more serious, fun approach, investigating of, you know, sacred sites across the world. And, you know, Living TV have been very, very, very kind, where they've given me the opportunity to go on and do Ghost Towns, which I wanted to do. I could never have taken part in doing things like I did in Ghost Towns and Most Haunted, going to ordinary people's homes, people's place of work, places where they've actually stood up and been counted and said, I did experience this. Please, will you come along and sort this out for us? Or if we had poltergeistal activity in properties, we went and we rid the people of that negative energy. All those things, it's like me, Derek Okoro, getting back to the grassroots of what I should be doing. And the same applied to, go out to Egypt and find out whether I could in any way get to speak, or better still, for those people of 4,000 or 5,000 years ago who were willing to step forward back into the atmosphere and explain some of the mysteries that have been surrounding their name, what actually happened to them. And it's been an absolute sheer spiritual wonderment for me. It's like as if Derek Acora is now on the right track, doing the things that I should be doing with Sam, and also with the involvement of some very serious-minded people who are there to investigate properly without fun and hilarity.
Great. Well, we're going to take our last break, and we're going to be back with Derek Acora here on Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We're going to talk in the last about 10, 12 minutes here with Mr. Acora about what his future does hold and where the track is going to take him. We'll be back with more.
We thought El Chupacabra meant the cup of coffee in Spanish.
Mi amo Eduardo Especial. ¿Cómo está el yay?
What you talking about, Willis?
Shows you what we know. Stay tuned. There's more to come from the darkness on the edge of town.
For all students, regardless of disability, education is a right, not a privilege. Hello, I'm Bill Curtis. Imagine a classroom with no books. Or a classroom where all the textbooks are written in a code you can't understand. For millions of students who struggle with learning disabilities or a visual impairment, textbooks present barriers to educational success and independence. The National Nonprofit Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic brings the printed page to life for students. RFB&D offers the largest collection of recorded textbooks in the world, available to everyone with a disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. RFB&D, learning through listening.
RFB&D has locations around the country that are staffed with volunteer readers and service coordinators. Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic is online at rfbd.org or call 866-RFBD-585.
Are you ready for some adventure? Swashbuckling action? Pirates? High seas battles? How about a little history, romance, and haunting Celtic mysticism thrown into the mix? If so, you have got to read The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare, the new book by author-illustrator Scotty Roberts, set in England, Ireland, and Scotland of the 16th century. Irish lord Tam O'Hare sets out on a quest to find and rescue a little girl from the hands of the very folk of the Dark Shadowlands. On his way, he runs headlong into adventure and intrigue from all quarters in the form of wolves, foxes, and pirating rabbits. Oh, and did I mention Tam O'Hare is, well, a rabbit? This book will not be available in stores until late this fall. But you can get your advanced copy of The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare now by going to www.tamohare.com. That's www.tamohare.com. The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare. You'll never trust a raccoon with a sword again.
If you read Taps Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
If you bleed from the ears while listening to Leo Sayer records, would it qualify as a paranormal experience? I thought so. Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town. Ooh, that hurts.
Welcome back to the show. We're in our last segment of what's going by way too fast. We've got a great interview going with Derek Acora from Britain. You know him as a psychic medium on the TV show Most Haunted, also Derek Acora's Ghost Towns, and he's got a new show. And we'd like to talk to you about that. But before we do, I have one other question for you, Derek, and I'm just curious your feelings on this as somebody being involved in the paranormal field. The skepticism level is so high for people with your ability. And when you watch your show, the thing that always kind of blew my mind about watching you, I threw up the temporary suspension of disbelief. I gave myself over to the show. When you would come up with names that were so insanely long and hard to come up with through Sam's help, you know, I mean, you know, yes, I'm in this room and it was once owned by Sir Twiggly Top and Middlebottom. And there's, you know, it's not like Jones or Smith or some other name that anybody could to pull up. You would give very specific detail and names. Can you see from an outside perspective how just unbelievable that looks? Do you ever look back at it through a skeptical eye as well and see, now, you know, I can understand why this looks so crazy to somebody that doesn't have this ability?
Well, absolutely, yes, David, because, you know, looking back on the shows and whatever, I'd be sitting watching with my wife, Gwen, or other family members, my daughter, my son-in-law, even my grandson, and I'd look to Gwen and I'd say, you know, where the heck did that come from? Or where does that affect? Or look at that, you know. So, yeah, it did take me by surprise also. I'm not saying all of the shows, but certainly did take me. But then again, you know, my belief system in my judgments of my good friend Sam, you know, I've said wherever I go, two-thirds of my work ever done, I'm like a mouthpiece, a voice for the real one who's doing the work from the spirit side is Sam. Sam is the one. Without Sam's availability, without him being alongside me, you know, some would say like a disembodied voice, so what? You know, he's there, he's real. And I say that with respect to him and also the skeptical mind. Yes, of course I have done. However, it still doesn't change the fact that I was there, I did, and, you know, I'm still doing. And, you know, all the better in that sense that if through mediumship, not just myself, all some very, very good mediums across the world, I'm sure are doing exactly the same, but are not getting the opportunity to do it on television.
All right, do you ever, when you're dealing with Sam, first of all, help me understand this, do you see Sam, or I know that you kind of touch your ear and you know, like you're trying to focus, or are you only hearing him?
No, when you've seen me do that on television, where at that moment in time, Sam is no doubt not showing himself. Mm-hmm. But so I'm listening very intently, and then he comes closer and closer until I can hear him very clearly. However, when he does show himself, when he does, and it's quite often, you know, I see that reassuring look from him. I see the smile. He's got a sense of humor. He's not a staid, morbid sort of sure. looking sort of a man. And that fits with me because I'm in this present day and age, 2007. I've got my own sense of fun or humor, as my family know. So, of course, to have that alongside me gives me that total aspect of total reassurance that my belief system, whatever I get told by him, if it's not coming direct from a spirit person, I believe 110%.
Do you ever get the feel, or as a psychic, do you ever sense somebody else has stepped in and trying to convince you that they're Sam when it is, in fact, not Sam?
No. There's been too many, I say that with respect, there's been too many instances, occasions, through my mediumship over all these years to even, I suppose, consider that it is another person. You see, a spirit guardian, a guide, is there for you 24/7. You may not always be communicating, or he or she, with yourself as the medium, but they're there just a couple of paces back, always there for you. So, in actual fact, in that question, which is a very good question, Sam would not allow another spirit person to step forward and try to purport it with Sam. There are too many fall-down factors for a spirit person to be able to be cunning enough, cute enough, or even clever enough to even try to impersonate Sam.
All right. Good question and answer there. Now let's talk about your new show. And now, Derek Acora's Ghost Towns, that is no longer on.
No.
But you've got, go ahead and tell us about your new show.
Well, we recorded, we went out to Egypt for just over a month, the whole team, and we were so, so privileged that the Egyptian government assigned alongside us, after they'd given us the green light to come in, assigned alongside us some of the top specialists, right up to Dr. Howard Hawass, who's the head of the whole of Egypt's antiquities, and what have you. A very lovely man. In actual fact, all the officials were very, very, very nice, caring people. It was thought at first that maybe they might not take on too kindly to a person of like myself in mediumship. However, after a short space of time, after the first investigation, then the second investigation, it was very noticeable that these officials, top officials, were very warm towards the medium side aspect and wanted to know, would you believe, more. They heard to be shouting in the background, Derek, get more, find more. Did this happen? What? They were so, and at the end of the series, you know what, David? They said to me very, very lovingly that, you know, if I wanted to come back into Egypt to do more, you know, I could come in tomorrow.
And that show is airing currently right now in, on the BBC, correct?
And it's airing on Living TV,
mm-hmm.
and that's at 10 p.m. Tuesday evenings. And in actual fact, there's one this evening, and I'm really, really looking forward to viewing. More importantly, to let the viewers see from another aspect in another country what is actually going on in the spiritual activity there. We were just blown away, if that's the right word, spiritually, psychically, emotionally. It was just an absolute wonderful experience. And I'd like to think that maybe, you know, one day I'll go back to Egypt.
Do you know when the show might start airing in the United States?
Well, we can't say because, you know, I'm not part of the network. I mean, it's naturally up to the network and
okay.
which network wishes to buy it, you know. But we have heard encouraging news that there is a great deal of interest in it. And I can imagine why, because of the history of Egypt and what went on there and stuff. And what can I say is I hope sincerely in my heart of hearts America gets this program, because I'm sure the fans, the viewers, are going to be extremely interested with the findings.
Now, I do have an email here from a lady in the UK. Her name is Sinead Woods, and she said that she had a question for you regarding your Paranormal Egypt show. She said, Derek, you did psychometry on a few ancient objects, from the death mask of King Tut to the Great Pyramid. Which is one that sticks in your memory the most? And she says she loves the show. She thinks it's incredible.
Oh, bless her. Thank you. Well, I suppose the one that really sticks in my mind more than anything else was when I was privileged to go to the tomb of the boy king, Pharaoh Tutankhamun, and the sheer emotion of being not just around his sarcophagus, but, you know, to actually be alongside his mummified remains. And then suddenly to go to the mask and realize, hey, there's been a big, my findings were that this mask was not actually made for Tutankhamun himself. It was made in the reflection of another person who later became the pharaoh after the young boy king was found dead. And the mystery and what have you to it is just, you know, mind-blowing to me. And that alone, I would love to see the American viewers see that show alone, apart from the series. I don't know whether there's been rave reports from Egypt side about it. I know there's been big discussions also to talk about the lady who later became a pharaoh, would you believe?
Right.
Hatshepsut, I think it's pronounced, Hatshepsut. And, you know, she, it was amazing to be alongside her remains, to actually find her and say, this mummified remain in this makeshift box in Cairo Museum was actually the great queen who would later become pharaoh. It was amazing. It was like, you know, to see a spirit person standing at the head of this coffin, and a male, and then a young male, to say that the young male said it was his mother, and the spirit man said it was his wife, and then suddenly to do that investigation, and the director of Giza Antiquities said, this is amazing. Does this mean we've actually found, since 1929, which we've been looking for, the great queen cum pharaoh? And we come back to the UK a week later Dr. Hawass was reported, I think it went in all the tabloids all over, showing a picture of him looking down at this great pharaoh, this woman pharaoh, saying that prior to us coming out, they'd been doing extensive tests on this particular mummy, and now they could categorically say that this was, in actual fact, the queen who became pharaoh. And I'd actually done that investigation a week and a half before.
Unbelievable. Well, with the future that you're doing with the shows, I'm curious one thing. When you're over in these foreign countries and you're communicating with the spirits, are you communicating directly with the spirits, or is it coming through Sam?
Generally, it's coming through Sam in interpretation, but also...
Okay. So I was wondering if he was able to translate for you from Egyptian, because that's got to be kind of hard for you to understand.
He does, he does. But there's also, David, which is really, really, until I started doing, that's not English, is that there is a universal language in place. And, you know, I did, from especially from Ramesses III, managed, without Sam's kindred spiritual interference, managed to speak to me in such a manner that I understood him. And that was the great pharaoh Ramesses III.
Wow.
Oh, and it happened on a couple of occasions. It happened with another man who... A very interesting. Who built the pyramids? And if it was built by men, were they slaves? No, they were not. Who was the great architect? Imhotep. And, you know, to get a link with him, which he openly spoke to me, and I could understand him, it was just absolutely mind-blowing. I truly, truly hope America and the American viewers and public get the opportunity to see it.
Well, I do, too. And Derek, I just want to thank you very much for being such a gentleman, spending this this evening with us on the show. We'd love to have you back on in the future again when you've got more programs coming out and you'd like to talk to us more about updates on any of the events that you're doing. Please keep us in mind. And again, if you're going to be out in the States, let us know. We'd love the chance to come out and say hi with you.
Thank you, David. It's been a pleasure, and I certainly would like to link up with you again.
Definitely. Now, is there a place people can get in touch with you if they want to send out fan mail or just give you feedback and let you know?
Well, they can send it to P.O. Box, number 32, Ormskirk. I'll spell that for you, O-R-M-S-K-I-R-K, Ormskirk, L for Leonard, 40. 9SN. That's in the UK.
Okay, great. And they can send out the information and letters to you there.
Yes.
And again, if you want, you can check out Derek's official website. He does have an official website at derekacora.org. And Derek, last question. We've got about 10 seconds left. You do have an official MySpace page. Is that correct?
MySpace?
Yes.
No.
You're not officially on MySpace.
No, I'm not.
Okay, that's good to know, because there is an official Derek Acora MySpace page, so now people will know that that's not really you.
No, it's not.
All right. Well, thank you again, Mr. Acora. You have a great night, and thank you all for tuning in and being a part of The Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
COTA just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your COTA fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with COTA. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
At CVS, it matters that we're not just in your community, but that we're part of it. It matters that we're here for you when you need us, day or night. And we want everyone to feel welcomed and rewarded. It matters that CVS is here to fill your prescriptions and here to fill your craving for a tasty and, yeah, healthy snack. At CVS, we're proud to serve your community because we believe where you get your medicine matters. So visit us at CVS.com or just come by our store. We can't wait to meet you. Store hours vary by location.